Brother Branham said he saw this calendar from the year of 33 begin to turn. Seven visions. From the year of 33, he said he saw the calendar turn. And said it turned every year. Every year. From the year of 33. And said when it came to the year of 77, said it stopped. And said, I looked and America was blown to bits. Now, it wasn't nothing but ashes, he said. All right. He said, well, it won't happen. Well, it might not. I sure hope it don't. But whatever, if it does, that means that unless the Lord protects you and me, that you will be blown to bits. I will be blown to bits. Our little darling babies will be blown to bits. It'll be a terrible massacre. Now, if it happens, that's it. If it doesn't happen, well, you don't have anything to worry about. But just supposing it does happen, is your heart like they're supposed to be? Have you really had resentment out of your heart? Have you really been a Christian? Have you really been clean and holy and upright? Have you? I said, well, when deathbeds come, Brother Pike, I'll take care of all of that. It's too late then. It's too late then. That's just like a man fighting with somebody. Hallelujah. Marlo says he sees a light over my head and back of me here. You know, he was talking to me today about some things he said that God showed him. And I believe in his prayers and what he says, because he fasts, he prays, he seeks God. My wife made a statement, said, surely the man must have something from God. Said, what else does he have to live for? Said, he just stays in the trailer and fasts and prays. No companion, no nothing. Said, what else could the man have if he didn't love God? Said, he must love God. That's a great testimony. But folks, the question is this. Are you really serving God? You know, it's like a man, you fight with him all of your life. All of your life you fight with him. And then just before you die, you tell him that you're sorry. He would never believe that. He would never believe that. And isn't that the way it is with God? You go contrary with him and you walk contrary to God every day of your life. And then when you go to die, you say, Lord, I love you. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. God don't believe that. He knows you're sorry, all right. He knows you made a mistake, all right. But he knows that you're not repenting because you want to be the right kind of person. You just don't want to go to hell. You just don't want the wrath of God on you. That's the only reason you're repenting. And I've heard people say, well, I believe in deathbed repentance. Well, I don't. I don't believe in deathbed repentance. You say, well, I know my mother. You don't know nothing. You wait till you get over there. She may be in the flames of hell and your daddy too. You don't know nothing. We're just hoping for the best. Now you say, well, what do you believe in? I believe in the Word of God. Amen. When the Word of God said, repent every one of you, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for it's unto you and your children, to as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. This is what I believe in, because we are saved by faith of the hearing of the Word. What you've been taught, what you've heard, what I tell you, somebody else taught you. It doesn't matter if your grandmother believed it, your granddaddy believed it, your great-granddaddy believed it. Every one of them can be in hell when you get there and you'll be there with them. I believe in the Word of God. Now, I don't say that to scold you. I say that to remind you. Are you gossiping? Are you backbiting? Are you praying? Are you fasting? Are you studying? Are you trying to have a brotherhood? Are you trying to live in peace with all men? Are you trying to coordinate with us? Are you trying to be a brother and a sister? Are you trying to overcome? Are you trying to consider the fault of others? Are you trying to look on them as those that need help and give them a helping hand? Or are you just doing like you want to, go where you want to, think like you want to, and act like you want to? Folks, there ain't but one way. That's the Bible way. Amen. That's the Bible way. And Brother Branham said he saw that happen. Seven visions, and every one of them, as far as we know, has come to pass. As far as we know, they've come to pass just like he said. Now, if they have come to pass, and it appears from all observation that they have, it is reasonable to think that the last one he saw will come to pass unless God does something about it. And are you praying and asking God to do something about it? Have you bothered to ask God to be merciful, to give us a little more time, to help us? Have you? Have you tried to live holy to show God that you're sorry of your sins and wrong, to ask Him to be merciful to you? What if that does happen and America's blown to bits? Look, some of you have got mothers and daddies that you know will go to hell. Some of you have got brothers and sisters that you know will go to hell. You've got friends and neighbors and loved ones, relatives. You know they'll go to hell. Now, I know we get into a formalistic thing, folks, and we say, well, I'm Methodist and you're Baptist and he's Pentecostal and I'm Catholic and they're Presbyterian and God loves us all. You know better than that. You know better than that. Now, you know better than that. There ain't no need of a preacher have to tell you better than that. You know better. God doesn't love everybody. I hear people say, well, God loves everybody, Brother Pike, and we don't have to worry. God doesn't love everybody. Where in the Bible did you ever read that God loved everybody? Some preacher that told you that, you know that isn't right. God doesn't love everybody. The Bible said God is angry with the wicked every day, and I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off the face of the earth. He doesn't love the wicked. He is against the wicked. If your son or daughter or mother or daddy is not living right, God hates them in His sight. And the Bible said, I will despise their image in the morning, because it is a bastard child. It is not in the image of God. It is not born to the church. It is the beast image. It is a perverted birth. And it is a bastard child. And He said, I'll hate the image of it in the morning. Cast it into the fire as a freak out of His presence. How many understand what I'm saying? So see, we don't need to take that thing and just hug that thing until we finally sup the last little breath that God's give us, and in our ignorance lay down and die because we're so hard-headed we wouldn't listen to nobody, and said, you got your religion and I got mine. Don't be foolish. Hellfire is a sad place to go. I said this to the young folks here recently, some of the boys. If you go to prison and you serve, if they say 99 years, folks, you can get out of that. You can get out of it. If you stay there 99 years, you got it. If they give you the electric chair, you can get out of that. Because when they throw the switch, that's the end of it. You die out of the electric chair. But folks, when God puts you in hell, you don't get out of that. There ain't no 99 years to it. There ain't no day after tomorrow to it. And I know we got a little convenient saying going around, you'll burn so long and you'll burn up. But the Bible said, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. That's the Bible said. And the Bible said it is eternal flames. And the word eternal means without end. If it doesn't mean without end, then our eternal life has a termination somewhere. So then we need to wise up and to wake up and say, if mama went to hell, I can't help that. If daddy went to hell, I can't help it. I'm sad. I'm sorry. It tears me to pieces. If they went to hell, it tears me to pieces to think about it. But for Christ's sake, I can't help them. Why should I go there and be tormented with them if I could help them? Somebody, I've heard people say, well, if such and such went to hell, I just want to go to hell. That's the mouth of a fool. That's the mouth of a fool. That's nothing less than a fool. If daddy went to hell, I don't want to go to hell. If mama went to hell or goes to hell, I don't want to go to hell. If brothers and sisters go to hell, Jim, I don't want to go to hell. Somebody said, well, I do. Well, I've said this a lot of times. Just take a few minutes out at home, get you some scalding hot water in the bathtub and stick your foot over in it, and you'll have a change of heart. Whether daddy, mama, or brother, sister, whoever's in hell, you'll have a change of heart. If you don't believe you will, you just try it one time. And the reality of life will dawn on you, and you'll realize that this is not a game, folks. This is not some kind of game where you go around saying that you're a preacher and you get up and you're saying, the Lord said, and go like that in some kind of rhythm, some kind of make-believe, some kind of something that something you picked up from somebody out yonder. This ain't no game. Now, I know preachers preaching, and a lot of times they can't catch their breath. But a lot of them pantomime and make a game out of it. This is not some place that a preacher studies and studies and studies and gets up here and goes to college and gets up here and tries to show you how brilliant he is or how much he knows about scientists or try to outsmart you. That's not God. We're not playing a game. It's not some place that a preacher jumps and hollers and runs and dances and shouts and leaps and acts like a leapfrog. That is not God. Though you might jump, you might holler, you might run through a troop, you might leap over a wall. But when people do that as a show and a practice, that is not God. It winds up in the same thing it did with A.A. Allen when they found him drunk or drinking when he died. Now, I made the statement when the man was in Atlanta, Georgia, in his early ministry, I said, something's wrong, someday they'll find it out. That was many years before that. See, this is a serious thing. This is something, he that God sendeth will speak God's word. It is a proven fact, and I know I'll get a repercussion out of this, but it is a proven fact that unless God undertakes, Billy Graham will go to hell. Billy Graham has preached in every stadium that he could get into. He has had mass multitudes of hundreds of thousands of people. But as I live and breathe, unless God undertakes, he'll spend his time in hell. Many hundreds of thousands of preachers that follow him will go to hell. You know why? Because they have mixed and mingled with movie stars and with the world and with the things and the government and everything else and have not lived holy. They've not been clean. They've not been upright. They have tried to mix darkness with light and believe that God is going to overlook it and let them by with it. But folks, God ain't going to overlook it. He ain't going to overlook it for you. He ain't going to overlook it for me. He ain't going to overlook it for nobody. We're going to have to be sober, having a bunch of foolishness all the time, going on with foolishness. God isn't going to overlook that. The Bible said the thoughts of foolishness is sin. When you think foolish thoughts, that's wrong. God isn't going to overlook it if he tells you to do something in this Bible and you don't do it. If God tells you to be baptized, he means to be baptized. And he don't mean to be baptized some way that your preacher said it or somebody said it or what you think about or what you believe. Because your believing ain't worth the time you take to do it. Amen. You're not saved by believing. You're saved by obeying the word of God. Amen. That's Bible. The devil believes and trembles and he'll spend his time in hell. Amen. Now, so then, when God tells you to do something, if it's quit gossiping, quit backbiting or whatever, that's what you got to do. Now, listen, folks. When Jesus said, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, he meant exactly what he said. Now, what is this that he called pure and undefiled religion and the only religion that he will accept unto eternal life? What kind of religion is it? He said this, to visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions. That is, do something for the widows and the orphans. How many of you are doing something for the widows and the orphans? Come on now. I'm talking about pure and undefiled religion. We say we're on our way to heaven. We're on our way to heaven. But the Bible said pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions. That is, do something for them. Then it said something else. It said, and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. How many of you keep yourselves unspotted from the world? A little gossip, a little backbiting, a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of jester and a little bit of laughing and a little bit of merit and a little bit of sassing, a little bit disobeying the husbands, a little bit abusing the family, a little bit of temper toward the children. Amen. You're defiled. You're spotted. Your garments are moth-eaten. That's the Bible. So then I exhort you as a brother tonight, not only as your pastor and a minister, but you are my responsibility. You're my people. I love you tonight. I have talked to people for many years, and they are in hell. They are in hell. I talk to them myself, but they are in hell. I have talked to many people that are in heaven. The difference was one listened, the other did not listen. You say you have no right to say that they are in hell or heaven. I certainly do. If anybody in the world has the right to say that they're in heaven or in hell, the preacher does. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, God doesn't give you the right to judge. Where did you ever read that in the scriptures? To the contrary, he made me a judge. The Bible said judgment begins at the house of God. It's God speaking. Is that right? And he said, judge righteous judgment. He gave me the right and sent me to the place to judge. You say, but you don't know. But I do know. You know how I know? Because he said, whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. I know that I bound their sins to them. And they are in hell tonight. He said, whoever you bless will be blessed. Whoever you curse will be cursed. I know that they were cursed and they're in hell tonight. I know others that were blessed and they're in heaven tonight. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you get there, you'll have a big shot. No, I won't. Somebody said, you just wait. You're going to have a great surprise when you see who made it that you thought wasn't and who didn't that you thought would and all these kind. No, I won't. No, I won't. Because I think whoever obeyed this made it and whoever didn't obey it went to hell. And I'm not going to be shocked because that's exactly what I'm going to find. Whatever is bound on earth is going to be the same when I get to heaven. There ain't going to be no shocks about it. It's going to be the way he said it. So then I tell you tonight, Paul said, we've got a more sure word of prophecy. And this sure word is the word of God. Amen. Listen to it, obey it, honor it, reverence, and do what the Lord tells you to do. All right, now I've just exhorted you just a little bit to try to make you to understand. Now, we'll read just a scripture here for the critics. You don't read the Bible, they say, well, who ever heard of that? They don't know that we are an epistle. It's known and read of all men. So for the sake of the critics, I read this. And for the sake of the little children that's on milk, if they might understand. Reading over here in the 11th chapter of Luke. Let's just read this. It won't take me but a few minutes here. And we'll read this. Now, I want you to absorb these few little things that I read here to you. Let them go to your heart and absorb them. Because, see, these are words of life. If you believe them, obey them, then they're words of life. Some night I'm going to get into something about the word that I believe you'll really be thrilled over. But tonight I'm just talking to you as a father would his children. In the book of Luke, in the 11th chapter. Now, I know that I'm an unpopular person, you know, when I say that, I mean the preacher. You love me. But a preacher, he's an unpopular person. What makes him unpopular is people get taken with evil spirits, and then the preacher, he has to bust the clods and come against them, and then he gets unpopular. But afterwards, when that person gets to thinking things over, they'll say, thank God for that preacher. I was blind as a bat. If he hadn't have said them things, I'd have never found my way. Like I said so many times, sometimes the physician, he has to go down in there and he has to cut the cancer out, you know. And we feel sore afterwards. But let us heal up. Let us get well. Then we've got a whole healthy life and we'll recommend that physician. All right, Luke chapter 11. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me. And I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut. And my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor, wherein he trusteth, and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest, and findeth none. He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh to him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And they enter in, and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice, and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God, and keep it. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. All right, now, I read quite a bit of scripture there to you that you might get a little lesson tonight. Folks, don't forget, because others went to hell, you don't want to go. I'm going to say this in close. It's like my mother-in-law that's here with us tonight. She made a statement today. I believe it was today or might have been last night we was talking. And we was talking about children being rentless and reckless and unconcerned. And she said to me, she said, George, said, there's only one thing that I can say. She said, you do the best you can. When you raise them up, that's all you can do. After that, then they are on their own. And see, you don't want to go bad because they went bad, do you? Because your children went bad, you don't want to go bad. Because one of them went bad, you don't want all the rest of them to go bad, do you? It's the same way. If one of them goes to hell, you don't want to go to hell. If others went to hell, you don't want to go to hell. Let's go to heaven together, folks. All right, let's stand together. Now, I appreciate you tonight. And I know that as long as the heat is going, we feel comfortable and feel like we haven't been here long. But when them heaters stop, we feel like we've been here 2 hours, you know. Every minute looks like they stay stopped. All right, can we sing this little chorus together? If there's anybody that rings a bell for in your life or heart, you can tell us about it tonight if you like. And say that you're going to be baptized in Jesus' name. Or if you prefer not to, that's all right. You can tell us later. We baptized a brother the other day. A brother, Bill, baptized him. The water was cold, but we didn't let that stop us. We baptized him in Jesus' name. Out of Tampa, Florida. We're having people from all around that comes from Tennessee, Florida, everywhere. And you know the strange thing is, these are Baptist folks that's coming to be baptized in Jesus' name. And these are Nazarene people that's coming to be baptized in Jesus' name. All kind of people, Catholic people, Church of Christ people, all coming to be baptized in Jesus' name. That's wonderful, isn't it? They're beginning to realize the great mistake that has been brought to them by unconcerned people calling themselves preachers, some out of college and so forth, spirits of lethargy that has led them into a state of chaos, and they're beginning to see that the Word of God is not favorable toward these people, and they're looking for the ministers that are telling them the words of faith. All right, let's sing this together. Don't forget the next service night. Let me say this right hurriedly. I know you're weary and I'm going to let you go. But our little CV program, Christian Video. You know, one of the reasons I'm doing this is some of you've got some sons and daughters that come to visit you in the trailers that won't come to church. But I'm hoping that at certain times when they come there, that we will be able to preach to them from here, either I or Brother Wilson or some of these great men of God, to catch their attention, to pull their spirits right into that little Christian video, right through that little channel, to capture their interest so much in what's going on in this church or among the brethren that they just can't rest till they come to see it or be a part of it. This is what I'm counting on now. And I believe that God's going to do it. I believe it's God. Now you might say, well, I don't believe he's going to do it. I tell you what, when I put out some baits here a few nights ago, when we had over 200 down here for that feeding, hey, some of them had come around. That's right, and they've been coming around more often since. I've been able to talk to them about God. So you just don't ever know. All right, let's sing this little song. We'll give the glory to Jesus. Don't forget tomorrow, I beg of you, in the name of the Lord, not for my sake. Folks, I don't need you to come out for my sake. Tonight, I could just get Betty and get Ms. Gray over here, who I love so much, my mother-in-law here. I just get myself, let's just go to Hawaii somewhere and let's take a vacation. Couldn't I do that? Sure, I could do it. If I got faith to go to Europe, I got faith enough to go to Hawaii. And I already got an invitation already to Hawaii. You know, there's a brother thinking about going back over. He's been over and he wants me to come. I might go over and film it. But see, I'm willing to stay out here for your sake because these are home grounds. I love little Bethlehem. I want it clean and holy. I want it pure. I want God to bless it. You know, like the song said, holding me in his hands till the storm passes by. I wish Sister Dale didn't know that. Till the storm passes over. See, in other words, I want little Bethlehem to be holy. I don't want it to be turned into a place of dope, all these kind of things. I don't want that. So that when these tornadoes come, the Lord can smile, you know, on it. I think it'd be hard to tell us tonight. I probably can't tell it the way Brother Wilson would, but he told me a few days ago, he said, Brother Pike, he said, when those tornadoes hit over in Mississippi, he said, it was so horrible, he said, until I was reminded of the night of Egypt when the people fled from Egypt. Said God spoke to me and said, I was reminded of that night. So I went down the hospital corridors and said, one would be there, maybe an arm tore off or the head split open up here, mothers and daddies and all these kind of things. And he told how that it took one whole family and just strolled them out there and the little children torn up, their entrails out. He said it was so horrible. Said it was so terrible. Just picked cars up. Said he knew of cars that they picked up and just spun them around, throwed them back down, crashed into the ground. One man had blowed grass and everything up his nostrils, into his head, up in here. He said, well, why are you telling us all of that? Because I want them things to pass over, little Bethlehem. And he told me, he said, out of all of this great turmoil, he said there was one black man, a little old poor fella, maybe a farmer, had a little old piece of house back over there. And said he turned around when this thing started to come in and said, oh Lord, said have mercy on me and my little old family, my little old house. And he said that thing lifted up, went around it and just bypassed it and went right on with its damage, turned things to pieces, and left that little old house and little old black man there. Folks, that's what I want to happen to Bethlehem. That's right. I'm trusting God will do that to Bethlehem. God does things like that. I told you here one night how that a fire broke out in the city. They say this was an actual thing. It swept down. The houses was joined one to another, you know, like they are in a city. Said it swept down. It didn't miss them. Said it went right down the line. And a little church was sitting right in the road. Said all of the people run to the little church. Said it was the most foolish thing that they could have done. But they all run to the little church and begin to pray. And said the fire went over the little church, dropped down on the next side, and just kept on going. Folks, things like that happen. I remember when it hit little Bethlehem, it lifted up over it when we prayed. I saw the vision where it lifted up over it. It went down. It hit up here. It tore houses up right out here in the front of you. It killed a man out there. It tore the houses just over the way here. Just tore them. Didn't even leave nothing. Come to little Bethlehem. Knocked a couple of pillars out from under it. We lifted up our hands and it lifted up and went over it and sat down right behind it over here. And just tore this man, his turkey farm, tore it all to pieces. Because he'd said a few things against little Bethlehem here. Even the man said, tell the preacher of little Bethlehem the next time a tornado comes through to please keep his hands up until it gets over my place. They run it on the radios. It might not happen next time. Somebody said, yeah, next time it comes, it'll get little Bethlehem. It might do it. But I tell you what, I'm praying it won't do it. You know, a lot of people said, well, it might get little Bethlehem. That'll show you. But if you ever considered the fact that you're at little Bethlehem and when it shows me, it's going to get you too? See, well, I wouldn't want to be showing nobody. That's like cutting off your nose to spite your face. All right, let's sing this little chorus together. I tell you what, I prayed when those tornadoes was hitting. I thought about my wife's mother. I thought about loved ones. I thought about friends and neighbors all over the nation. And you know how I prayed. And I pleaded to God. I said, Lord, I said, we're so weary. And people all over the nation is so weary. I said, I beg of you. I got down on my face. I said, I beg of you, Jesus. I said, lift these things for me. And I told you God was going to lift them. And did he do it? He has lifted them from that time and have been lifted ever since. It's been a rare thing for them to strike around anymore. All right, let's sing this little chorus together. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of his wonderful love. Can you sing it again? Well, we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. Then we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of his wonderful love. Sing it again. We will give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. Then we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of his wonderful love. Now then, if I've hurt you tonight out of the gospel, I want you to forgive me, because I'm not here to hurt you nor to lord over you. I'm here to help you tonight. And I want you to take the things I've said to you, let them go home. Let them sink into your heart tonight. Use them, utilize them for the good that they are to you tonight, so God can help you and bless you and strengthen you and make a real Christian out of you. Now, if you want to be prayed for tonight, there's two or three that came here to be prayed for. And a lot of times they may have a problem that you don't know anything about, and they have to have help while it might be well with you. But if you want to be prayed for tonight, we'll take a few minutes here. All you got to do is step down here at the altar, and we'll pray a mass prayer for them that want to be prayed for tonight to single you out. If you want to step down here tonight, then we'll be glad to pray for you. If you're sick in body, whatever, I believe in prayer, don't you? If there's nobody else but these, we'll pray for these. But if you'd like to be prayed for, if you don't need prayer tonight, that's wonderful. But if you do need prayer, well, I'd like for you to come. My own little daughter, Gracie, I prayed for her this evening, and I trust that she's feeling better tonight. I believe that she is. I know the devil's fighting her, but I believe that God is going to touch a little body and keep her well. You know, folks, if it's necessary to pray, then we should pray. Isn't that right? I am not against you. I am not trying to hurt you. I am not trying to pick you out or do you an injustice. But I would be a foolish preacher to stay here at Little Bethlehem and let Satan get into you, knowing that you are immature, or get into some of the children, spiritual children, and tear everything up that God is doing. Don't do that. You've already seen death after death, heartache after heartache. Those who have opposed it have died out. Something has happened to them, so don't do that. Unite with me. My cross is heavy enough without you adding nails to it. So be a brother to me and help me and stand with me. And I don't want to add to your cross. I want to lighten the load. I want to be a brother. I want to pick it up. I want to do like the man did when he picked Jesus' cross up. And I want to take it on. See, I have little children that get sick. You have little children that get sick. Your body gets weary. My body gets weary. Our loved ones, we get weary in our way a lot of times as people, you know, because somebody won't speak an encouraging word to us. But look, folks, Solomon said to have friends, one must show himself friendly. You've got to add a little bit something to your life. You've got to quit brooding over your own life. Stop brooding. Don't sit around and just brood all the time over your hurts, over your sicknesses, over your problems. Don't do that. The Bible said, look on the things of another and not on the things of your own. Don't do that. See, brood over somebody else. Look at somebody else, you know, and say, you know, I'm better off than they are. I know I've got problems and people have hurt me and they've mistreated me, but I'm not near so bad off as my brother. I'm going to spend my time praying for my brother. And I'm just not going to worry about my feelings. I'm just going to swear to my own hurt, and whatever comes, well, that's the way it's going to be. And I'm going to be a real soldier, and while I'm bleeding to death over here, I'm going to bandage up my brother's wounds. Isn't that right? I'll give my life for my brother. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Don't talk about your neighbor. If they've done you wrong, if your brother's done you wrong, your sister's done you wrong, don't say things against them. Love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you. Pray for them that persecute you. Did you know, and this is the truth, did you know that Brother Pike or you or anybody else, we are not qualified to accuse our neighbor or even to judge our neighbor until we have come to the place that we can love our enemies. We're not even in place to restore somebody if they stumble. What right have we to tell somebody else if they stumble, if we are not spiritual? The Bible said, let them that are spiritual restore them. You don't have any right to do that if you're not spiritual, because you'll fall into the same temptation. So then I ask you tonight, don't be like that. Don't be like that. See, think about your fellow man. If you can love your enemies, do good to them that despitefully use you, and pray for them that persecute you. If you can truthfully do that, then you are in shape to help somebody else or to judge somebody else. But until you can do that, folks, you're not capable of being a leader nor judging a situation. So then tonight, if something happens to your boy or your girl, or something happens to your wife or your husband, or something happens to your neighbor, don't go blaming somebody else with it. It's like I said the other day, something happened here between a little couple that we've got here. They have little spats, you know. And I made this statement. I said, don't blame the parents. The parents of the daughter, don't blame the parents of the son. And the parents of the son, don't blame the parents of the daughter. Don't blame the son with it, parents. And don't blame the daughter with it. I made this statement. In the garden, there was Adam and Eve. Whose parents could you blame with it when the wrong came? They had no parents. You couldn't blame the man's parents because he didn't have any. You couldn't blame the woman's parents. She didn't have any. You couldn't blame the man because the man was one of the finest men that ever walked. You couldn't blame the woman because she was one of the cleanest women that ever lived. Then who could you blame? Lucifer. Satan. Is that right? God himself accepted the blame, come down for your sake, made himself a human body, and let God smite him to keep you from accusing one another. Isn't that good enough? To me, that's good enough. So then, I say this, that to me, that's good enough. Don't blame anybody but the devil. Let's don't gang up on nobody but the devil, because he's the fellow we need to gang up on. Don't gang up on your brother. He's got a heavy load already. But let's gang up on the devil and get rid of that fellow, and we won't have no more problems. How do you know the Bible said out there in the mount of God at the end time in the millennium that nothing shall harm in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord? See, that proves that it isn't you and it isn't me, because God's going to bind the devil. Oh, somebody said, but Brother Pike, the reason for this, there ain't going to be no bad folks out there. Well, there's one thing about it. The Bible said after the 1,000 years, God's going to loosen him from the bottomless pit. He's going to go about and deceive the nations once again. There are going to be some nations out there that'd be just as contrary and ornery as before. They're going to prove it when the devil's turned loose on them. So see, it isn't because he doesn't have a tool to work with. It's the devil that causes the trouble. And when he's put out of commission, there's nothing that harms. There's nothing that's wrong. Even the people that are not good have to settle down and sit still till the devil gets back. So then let's don't be a tool for him tonight. Let's don't defile the temple. This weekend, I believe, our brother from Marysville, Tennessee is coming down to be with us, and maybe some others. Let's lift up our heads and take courage, and let's be an inspiration. Maybe your parents might come in and be saved because you pray and you fast. All right, I want you to just lift your hands up and close your eyes now. If Brother Pike can ever help you, if I can do anything for you, if I can share my bread with you, whatever I've got, it's yours. I'll share with you down to the last biscuit. But I ask you to pray. I ask you to believe. I ask you to, let's be brothers and sisters of one another. Let's be clean and holy in our hearts. The pure in heart shall see God. The pure in heart shall see God. I want to see God, don't you? Be pure in heart tonight. God is a spirit. The pure in heart shall see God. You keep a pure heart, God will come into your heart. He'll heal you. He'll cleanse the bloodstream. He'll make you well. He'll kill the evil that tries to get into your body. He'll also bless your loved ones. For I would that them that are my people would obey me and do the things that I tell them, that it might be well with them and with their little ones, their children, all the days of their life. All right, let's just pray. Father of heaven, as we come to thee tonight in the wonderful name of your son, Jesus. Dear God, we're not worthy tonight to speak to these people. We don't stand here, Lord, because we're worthy. And as Paul said, Father, we don't preach ourselves, but we preach Christ. Lord, I stand here by the blood of the Lamb. I stand here by your virtue. I stand here by your commission. I stand here to encourage the hearts of your people in that I have spoken to them the words of truth. You do love them and you are for them, and you've declared that in your word, and you've asked them to have faith and confidence in him, and Lord, that they would live holy so that they would not be under condemnation, that they might believe in the words of promise and truth, that you might be able to help them. But I know that Satan, oh God, he seeks to cause them to stumble in error after the flesh, that condemnation might kill their confidence in the word of hope and promise and security. So I ask in Jesus' name that every foul spirit be taken away. Every evil power tonight, Jesus, be broken. Every spirit of sickness, every spirit of infirmity, every evil power tonight be broken. Satan, I adjure thee by God in the name of his lovely son, Jesus Christ. and the atonement. Take your hands off of these people. Move away from them and leave them alone. And God, I plead the blood against him as a wall between these people and between him. I plead Calvary between them, Father. And dear God, I speak healing by your word, by faith. I speak healing to these people and I forgive their sins in Jesus' name according to your word and according to their faith tonight. And dear God, you said if they've committed any sins, it shall be forgiven them. And Lord, that the sick would recover. So in Jesus' name, I forgive their sins for your sake, for Christ's sake. And dear God, as we remit their sins, we speak healing to their body. Help them to be clean and holy. Take away their evils and their wrongs. Help them to forget those things that are behind. And let them start a new day in Jesus' name as we come to the end of the way. I ask you to do this in Jesus' name. One more little chorus and we're going to be dismissed. Oh, just another touch, Lord, from you.